We'll begin with the Doctrine and Covenants, Section 2, verses 1a through 2a. The works and the designs and the purposes of God cannot be frustrated, neither can they come to naught. For God doth not walk in crooked paths, neither doth he turn from the right hand nor to the left, neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Wherefore his paths are straight, and his course is one eternal round. Remember, remember, that it is not the work of God that is frustrated, but the work of men.
Dear God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at the opening of this service, praying, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit might rest upon us, give our speaker a greater understanding, and bless those that have come, and bless those that are not here, that we remember them. And we ask Thou to go forth among us, uplift our spirits, give us guidance and direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'd like to talk a little bit about how the Lord works with us, always, and how He takes those weak things, which we call weak, and how He can make them strong. My opening scripture I'd like to use is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And this is the Lord speaking unto us all. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I want you to think about the understanding that we need to have from that verse in itself, and how we're always having our days of woe because of things that have happened to us, because of our weaknesses, where we want to be able to do better, where things that we can't do in our lives, and how the Lord can use that. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Because we know that at every stage of our lives, we struggle to overcome the weaknesses that we might have, that we might confront. And as we do so, I want us to think a moment on some of the words that a familiar prophet from the ancient times agonized over. And this was his own weakness that he recognized. And this is going to be about Moroni and his weakness as he kept the history on the plates of the things that were going on. And this, you can turn, if you will, follow me, in Ether. We're going to be in chapter 5, starting around verse 23. And I want you to understand what's going through Ether's mind, because he was given the job to take care of keeping the history at that time. It was passed down to him. And that was a very important duty, because these things that were passed down were for the further understanding of people to come in the future, including us, that they might have a better understanding of God's work and his will in their lives and in our lives. Beginning in verse 23, it says this, "And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For, Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith." Now, these people had great faith. They were mighty in word to be able to speak because of their faith, as I would talk to you. "But thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all this people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost, which was within them, and has given them. And thou hast made us that we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands." He was already recognizing the fact that the Holy Ghost was within them and they could speak with authority, but they couldn't write it down. They had trouble writing it down. They didn't know how to put that into words, because you see, that was man trying to write something that was given from the Holy Ghost. And when you're talking from the Holy Spirit, there's many times you'll have people that'll say that, "I don't remember one thing that I was saying, because I was being given that from on high." So Moroni is questioning that. He's worried about this. Behold, thou hast made us mighty, though thou hast not made us mighty in writing, like unto the brother of Jared. For thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty, even as thou art, unto the overpowering of man to read them. Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness, weakness of the flesh, and stumble because of the placing of our words, and fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. You know, Moroni, he was laboring over these events as he chronicled on the medical plate, metal plates, and was writing these things out. And he was deeply concerned that the things that he was writing, that he wasn't putting in a proper order. I guess perhaps he was worried that future readers might not just be able to pick up and understand the authority and the power that the inspired message that he was being given at the time, trying to put on paper. He was worried they wouldn't understand it, that they wouldn't get it. So we read the words today in the Book of Mormon. You know, worthy of the abridgment of all these plates that we're reading. Do you feel inspired? Do you feel power when you read the Book of Mormon? Do you feel that the words that were placed on those plates were for our understanding, that we might be able to be a more righteous people and take that understanding, take it with us out to the other people outside? Do you feel the power that was given to him to be able to write those words? That power that was given within him that he assuredly felt. Because if he didn't feel that power, he'd have been just writing the words down just like I would write a book and wouldn't have thought much of it. But no, he knew that that power was from on high. And he wanted to be able to portray that same power through those words which he was writing to anybody that would read it. And so he was worried. But you know what? What did he do? He humbly turned to the Lord, and the Lord revealed these words to him. A man of God, in Ether 5, 27 and 28, it says this: if men come unto me, I will show them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. Do you understand what he's saying there? Our weaknesses that we think are weaknesses can be turned around and made strong for the purpose of the Lord. If we pray unto him and then we have faith in him, these things can come to pass. The Lord's response to Moroni can help us in our own understanding of the purpose of weakness in our lives and the way we can overcome them. We do have weaknesses in our life, but I think we look at them the wrong way too many times. Instead of taking those weaknesses and trying to find out what God wants us to do, we start to just literally be bummed out that it's a weakness instead of a strength. But do we not really realize it could be a strength? We too have opportunity to feel that same hope and peace in our hearts that Moroni felt at the very time that he was writing those historical plates. I want to go over three vital steps that we can use to help us to overturn weakness and replace our weaknesses with strength. First, we need to recognize there's a problem. We need to recognize that we're weak, or our weakness that we have to begin with. Not be prideful, not overlook it, but realize that it's a weakness within us. Then we have to be determined that with all our might, mind, and strength, we want to overcome it. And most of all, we need to rely on the Lord for help in all this that we do. Recognizing our weakness, it's not an easy thing. I can tell you that. I've been through it myself. Each one of us, I'm sure, have from time to time. It's hard to, when someone brings out and shows you a weakness, especially without you even realizing it yourself. You've been living that way for years and haven't realized it's a weakness, and then someone points something out to you. Oh, man. It can be very difficult at times for us to receive that information. And then it can be very difficult for us to admit it, that it is a problem or it is a weakness. Nevertheless, this is a part of coming unto Christ. It is vital and part of God's plan for our happiness that we recognize this. It causes us, does it not, to come to the Lord in prayer, in faith, believing? If we didn't have weakness in our lives, we'd just be going along happy and merry. We have to be tried, brothers and sisters. Our feet need to be put to the fire from time to time. However painful it may be, remember, it's only for a time. We will get through it with the Lord's help. Some people feel defeated by their personal weaknesses, and I know this to be true. I've been with many people, and you can yourself even probably recognize this from time to time, and we become in despair. We succumb to despair. It can take us over, brothers and sisters, if we allow it. Thinking to ourselves, how can this be? How can this happen to me? While others attempt to hide it or ignore it or even compensate for their shortcomings because of the pain and embarrassment that they feel it's causing within their lives. But let me tell you, sometimes that same embarrassment, that same pain is drifted off now and is causing people around you to suffer and struggle also. It's not just about you. Let me give you an example. There was a little girl named Patty, and she faced a devastating weakness, if you will, that deeply affected her life. She couldn't read. Can you imagine not being able to read? And how devastating that would be, now that, especially that you know how to read? She didn't know how to read. For years, she experienced daily rejection and humiliation, even from those who she loved or thought that loved her. She said, I was in second grade and I already knew I was dumb. How sad is that? I just didn't ever really catch on to reading. Day after day and year after year, the humiliation just continued. Patty once said, I was either told directly I was stupid or was asked, haven't I already told you that 1,000 times? Anyone ever see that happen? Think about your childhood in class and school. A little bit of bullying going on by people that maybe had a little bit of a difficulty. A dyslexia, I believe it is, where you can't read, you see things backwards. A lot of different things happening in that age of child. And how hard the peer pressure is on kids. Kids can be very difficult with other kids, and we can too as adults. She was labeled lazy. She was called a daydreamer. Comments like these that she said caused so much emotional stress that it was like having a curtain drawn across her mind. Being called upon to read aloud in class, she said, was excruciating because she knew everybody was going to make fun of her. Even when I knew the words, I just couldn't say them. I couldn't, they wouldn't come out. Tears would well up on my face, and the tears from my eyes would blur the page as they dropped upon them. Soon Patty learned, though, to cover up her weakness or avoid situations that would reveal her dreaded secret. So she's already thinking, oh my gosh, I can't let anybody know. It's a terrible thing. But no one tried to help her. That's the point here. No one tried to help and understand. When she and her friends visited the local library, she followed their lead in checking out popular mystery books. But even though she carried the books home, she could never read them or join with them in lively discussion because she didn't know what was in the book. She also found herself failing nearly in every subject in school. Finally, at age 15, she decided to drop out of school and get married. This decision could have led to a more serious problem. However, this could have deterred her from school ever again. However, she married the right man, and he was a prayerful man. And with his encouragement and support and the watchful care of the Lord, and her own determination, which became stronger and stronger because she knew that the Lord was involved and her husband was encouraging her. See, she was being encouraged. She began to work harder and harder. And many years later, this mother of 8 children graduated from high school. With great determination and much prayer, Patty continued her education beyond high school. Finally, now this is a true story, and it's an awesome story on how weak things are made strong. Finally, after years of effort, it did take a lot of effort, don't get me wrong, she received a college degree at age 50. Her weakness ultimately became a strength as she pursued a career path that became a blessing to many others also struggling to read. The little girl who once thought she was too dumb to read now directs a statewide program that helps children with reading difficulties. No one would help her early on. But the Lord helped her. She met the right person. Through prayer and determination, she made it through that difficulty. And it was a wise use because her weakness became strong that she could help others with that same problem. You see how the Lord worked there, brothers and sisters? And I know that we have struggles from now and again. We get sick. We have these things happen to us. And we're asking, why, Lord? Why all the time? When we should be saying, where is your glory, Lord, in these things? Show me thy glory. And it might take a few years. It might, 50 years later, 40 years later, whatever. And the fruits became to come forth. As the Lord told Moroni, recognizing and acknowledging a weakness is a necessary part of overcoming it. Because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong. We have to recognize it. And we have to call upon our Lord. The challenging process of facing and overcoming our weakness can refine us, make us more profitable servants to the Lord and to his people, and bring us closer to our Savior Jesus Christ. But there must be a determination. There must be an effort. Once we have recognized a weakness, we need to have that strong determination to overcome it. I want you to think of this for a second. My granddaughter, what a beautiful gift from God. You know, she's learning new things every day. And we watch as she tried so hard to speak at the beginning, and her first word that came out was hello. It wasn't mommy, it wasn't daddy. And I thought, what a great word to start out with, hello. And then she's becoming stronger each day. And we watch her. She now has the ability to roll over. But we saw it in her eyes, the determination. She wanted to do it. And she'd keep trying, and then she'd get tired. She'd sleep for a long time after that, so the parents were happy. But then the next day, she'd try again. She was determined to do that, as we all are when we're kids. You could see the excitement in her eyes every time there's something new that happens, because she's being praised. Everybody's cheering her on. Yay! Okay? You see, as we get older, things which used to seem so great in our eyes, they begin to fade. As we, for some reason, begin to compare ourselves to others. And that's a big mistake. Then there becomes a big separation. Brothers and sisters, the Lord created us all. And he created us all for a purpose. Just as the little babe learns daily as they grow, so do we learn all our lives. We are still as babes. I don't care how old you are. We're still learning. We're still finding out our weaknesses and hopefully praying to the Lord that we can find our strengths through those weaknesses. We are being tested. We were not created to be found comparing ourselves to others as to what we think our strengths and weaknesses are. After all, what one person might think is a weakness could be used by God for a great purpose, as we've seen. If we trust in the Lord, he will make all things work for good. I can attest to that, brothers and sisters. Even as I stand before you today, The Lord has a work for every one of us if we but call upon him and ask, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? Let us find ourselves turning to the Lord. Sometimes in spite of all we do to make weak things become strong, the Lord in his infinite wisdom, he does not take away all our weakness. You know, the Apostle Paul, he struggled throughout his life. And it says it was with a thorn in his flesh, is the way he puts it. And that thorn served to humble him. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find this starting at verse 7. Now, I want you to understand that Paul did many great things. And he could have been a very prideful person. And yet he had that thorn, as he says in his side, as a blessing, actually, to keep him humble. Starting at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted, see, he even was worried about that because it can happen. And lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. He's trying to get rid of that thorn. The Lord put it in these words, if we read in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then continuing on, Paul finishes his thought by writing, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What a wonderful statement he makes there. Like Paul, we can find positive meaning in weaknesses that are not taken away to help to keep us humble, while at the same time showing to others how we get through this adversity that we might be in, because we are caused to remain humble. Surely, nothing is quite as humbling as having a weakness that we cannot overcome, but must realize that we must struggle with it throughout our life. Such a weakness teaches us a very personal thing in this way, that after all we can do, we must rely on God's grace to make up the difference for our weakness. And he will. He will fill in that void. Not that he's going to always take that weakness away, but he helps you through by filling that spot that is needed. As we humbly submit our will to the Lord, we find that our weakness can indeed become a source of strength if we put our trust in him. All our trust, brothers and sisters, not just sometimes, not just part-time, all our trust in him, in all things, whether great or small, we must put our trust and our faith in him. I want you to ponder this for a moment. Many times our struggles might only be to cause us to work together as one. Did you ever think of that? We need each other. And many times in our weak situations, who do we call? Our brothers and sisters, that we might have encouragement, that through our faith in God, we can feel that amongst ourselves and each other, that spirit that resides within us. As we carry that good spirit amongst each other, that light is shown forth, brothers and sisters, for others to see. And they will question. We must work together. I want you to think of a rope, and I know I've used this before, but we know how a rope works. If you just have one little strand of thread, you can break it very easily. But what happens when you take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hundred strands and make it a rope? How hard is it to break then? It's very difficult. In fact, they use it to pull boats, big giant boats. Very strong, and that's the way we need to think. We need each other, that we might find that strength together as one. We are called to be one, and we are called to stand together. And the Lord called his people Zion, because they are one heart and of one mind, and they dwelt in righteousness. Let us not worry about what we think as weakness might be in our eyes or in our lives, but turn to the Lord for our strength in all things. For Christ said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Brothers and sisters, I pray that the Lord would continue to dwell with you, to lift you up, to keep you strong. And when you're feeling down and weak, call upon him. Call upon your brothers and sisters for help. Because truly we are to be of one heart and one mind. We want Zion, don't we? Well, it starts right here, right here. In our own little community, if you will. Zion. Working together that no one struggles or suffers. I got some homework for you, if you will. It's up to you. I want you to search the scriptures. And I want you to look up the scriptures that you come across that all talk about weak things being made strong. And you will see how many times in all our books that we have, how the Lord had taken weak things and made them strong. How he had a small army and they beat a great army. However it might be that you look in the scriptures, study these things out, so that you can have proof for yourself on that Lord can take weak things and make them mighty and strong for his purposes. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And I pray that you have a wonderful week. The flowers are coming up. The beauty of the earth, as always, is just a different kind of beauty through the flowers and the trees. And I had a Baltimore Oriole has been hanging out by my house, and I could hear it. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I even put oranges out. I'm trying to get that bird. Finally, I saw it. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. Isn't it something what we do to just see one little part of God's creation and the beauty within it? Enjoy God's creation and the beauty of it. Look outside, even in the rain, and you will see the beauty, and you will recognize God's love. May the Lord continue to bless you, is my prayer.
Dear God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we again come unto thee, praying, Father, that thou would go forth, send thy Spirit to rest upon us as we go into the world. And we pray that we are always praying unto thee and thy Son. And we give thee thanks for the many blessings of life. And we pray that thou would be with those that are sick and afflicted, and those that are hurting, Father, those that are missing, and those that are sorrowful in heart. We pray, Father, for a strength through them from thee. And we say these things in thy Son's most holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.